joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. You can download the Civic Media app, engage with us right from the app. You can call or text in. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free and it's easy to download. Joined by Aaron Zommers on this lovely, lovely Friday afternoon, the absolute best Wednesday of the week. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It hasn't been a crazy week. I was worried that with Luke gone on his honeymoon, everything would devolve into chaos, but things have been going pretty well.
Whoa. Chaos? I thought it was a party.
Oh, it's a party here on Town Call. It's a party everywhere. I just mean that I was worried the party would grow out of control.
Oh, yeah. No, me too.
Yeah. It me seems too. That the party is an appropriate amount.
Do you remember the movie Project X? That would have been 10, 15 years ago, maybe.
I don't recall. Let me look it up and see if I've seen that one.
I was in high school when it came out, I think. And essentially the premise was, a house party that goes absolutely out of control. But it was a big, like, cultural movie, cult hit movie moment type movie that we cite all the time in running jokes, like, throw a Project X type party. And that's how I was imagining Town Call for the week, for the couple of weeks without Luke, because you know it's always a party when Papa Luke's out of town. But It's Friday. That means we are talking Wisconsin headlines of the week. But first, Aaron, we got a couple of headlines nationally that we got to get to and maybe continue a bit of a conversation that we had yesterday, because I know there were some additional points that you wanted to add. There were some things that I wanted to add as well that we weren't quite able to get to. But I will start with the lead, reading over from the AP. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California dies at age 90. AP lists her as a centrist Democrat who was elected to the Senate in 1992, breaking gender barriers throughout her long career in local and national politics, has died at the age of 90. She died Thursday night at her home in Washington, D.C., opening the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced that earlier this morning we lost a giant in the Senate. It's obviously sad, but this should really come to as a surprise to nobody who has been closely following the Senate at the national level, as Senator Feinstein's health in the past, really couple years, but especially the last couple months. The viral image of her being wheeled into the building comes to mind. Her health has been declining dramatically quite quickly. And I think what's most sad about this situation is, and I don't know her family, so I don't know if this was her decision. I don't know if it was her family's decision. I don't know if this was the powers that be forcing her into this situation, but it's really sad that elderly people, particularly at her age, are still being driven to do this type of work. It's like, dude, just retire, go home, spend some time with your loved ones, spend some time with your grandkids. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that it is unfortunate she didn't get to spend time in retirement, just spending time with her family. But hopefully, I'm hoping that remaining in this job is something she wanted to do so that her last days were spent happy.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to speculate, but I have to believe that my personal opinion is that probably wasn't the case based on quotes of hers, images of her, some of the lines that have come out from her aides that have been assisting her on the Senate floor. She really didn't know where she was, what she was doing. There's, of course, the famous anonymous quote a few years ago from a DC pharmacist that said, almost word for word, I fill out prescription for Alzheimer's and dementia for numerous members of Congress. And a lot of people immediately thought of Senator Feinstein. So, I will note she was the oldest sitting U.S. senator Her death came after a bout of shingles sidelined her for more than 2 months earlier this year, an absence that drew frustration from her most liberal critics and launched an unsuccessful attempt by Democrats to temporarily replace her on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which that Senate Judiciary Committee now sits as a tie. It's unlikely that President Joe Biden will be able to pass any more judicial nominations now, particularly if Republicans hold up that a replacement nominee. When she returned to the Senate in May, she was frail, using a wheelchair, voting only occasionally. This is going to have a large impact on national politics. Now, the Senate itself sits at 50-49 still, so there is still a Democratic majority. However, I think that Senate Judiciary Committee is going to be the topic of conversation in the days and weeks to come as we start to learn more about how this might impact national policy. I will also note that amid concerns about her health, Feinstein stepped down as the top Democrat on the Judiciary panel after the 2020 election. Just as the Democratic Party was about to take the majority. And in 2023, she said she would not serve as the Senate President pro tempore or the most senior member of the majority party, even though she was in line to do so. This is going to be really, really interesting to see how this plays out going forward. It feels to me a lot like the RBG situation, where an individual didn't do what was necessarily wise, not just for their constituents, but for their party
and for themselves.
And for themselves, let's be brutally honest, right? We've, as we noted earlier in the show, I can't understand why some of these aging representatives don't just retire. Is power that alluring? Are they being, forced into these situations? I don't know, but Senator Dianne Feinstein died last night in her home in Washington, D.C., at the age of 90. This will, of course, launch another conversation on term limits, something that comes up quite frequently in regards to the age of a lot of our elected representatives, because, well, Feinstein was the oldest. There are quite a few that are up there. Chuck Grassley's right up there as well. A lot of these representatives that get into these positions of power tend to not leave them.
Right. And yeah, I agree. I would want to retire with dignity. Once you know that you're not going to be able to perform, obviously accepting that is difficult. I am fortunate and unfortunate to have been diagnosed with some medical conditions that prevent me from doing some things. So I've already been able to accept that, yeah, sometimes you just can't do stuff. But So I can somewhat relate that sucks, but you kind of just have to get over it. You know what I mean. Accept it.
Learn to cope. Learn to deal with it. Grow and move on. Accept your limitations. Like you said, we're all human beings. We're not superheroes. We're not able to do these kind of push yourself past the limit. Stereotypical. I think of athletes in particular that train in crazy ways because they're just genetically capable of doing that, able to push their body past acceptable limits. Not everyone can do that. And I think my lasting memory of Senator Feinstein, and it's also kind of sad, I think, that this will be how she is remembered by a lot of young representatives, particularly because she has been kind of a trailblazer, a real pioneer for women in politics throughout the entirety of her career. But that clip of her speaking with youth activists, and when I say youth activists, I mean, these kids had to be between 12 and 16 maybe.
Right.
And they were talking about how important the environment was to them. And she shut them down and basically said, "You're just kids. You have no idea what you're talking about." These representatives, some of them are just so incredibly, incredibly out of touch with the modern world. While they might have incredible accomplishments throughout their career, and while they might have legacies that should be remembered fondly because of the barriers that they were able to push and the ceilings that they were able to break, What's the quote from Batman, right? You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Right. That just those type of quotes just ring true when you see situations like this. So, one more conversation I wanted to have, Aaron, before we jumped into the headlines of the week, regarding the conversation we had yesterday during office hours with Professor John Shelton. And we were talking about Wednesday night, second GOP debate. There was a moment that came up that we didn't quite get to cover on the show, but we had a caller who had a point that was similar to it. And I want to reference the moment that Chris Christie said when he characterized President Joe Biden's relationship with his wife as, you know, an advocate inside the White House every day for the worst of the teachers. He's been, you know, he's sleeping with a member of the teachers union. And then Mike Pence had to make that very, very awkward and kind of out of nowhere quote that he really struggled through, where he's like, you know, full disclosure, you mentioned the president situation. My wife isn't a member of the teachers union, but I got to admit, I've been sleeping with the teacher for 38 years, which of course was met by silence. But the audience was just like, Mike, what?
I cringed and then very hard.
I physically cringed. And I can imagine mother probably physically cringed when he said that as well, because there was just absolutely no reason to say that. But we got a text yesterday regarding that conversation that we had with the caller, where he mentioned he would marry Nikki Haley and likes her as a candidate, likes her as a candidate, but would not marry her. And I think this text was spot on, where the texter noted, from a feminist point of view, why did he turn her talent for doing exactly what you're supposed to do into a question of whether he would want to marry her? She's not running to be his or anyone else's wife. These casual comments only serve to bolster sexist tendencies in our culture. No one would say that about a man running for office, which was spot on.
Absolutely.
Spot on. And nail on the head.
For that caller, I just want to say, we're not calling you out. We're not saying you're bad. We're just saying this is another perspective.
Yeah. And I think that it gives the opportunity for individuals to learn and grow from it.
Right.
Because these type of things, this is really prevalent in American culture. I guarantee that caller was not the only person who had that thought, because I saw that thought trending on Twitter as well. There were a lot of people saying essentially the same thing.
Interesting.
I love the way that she performed in the debate, but boy, I would hate to have to share a house with her or something. And it's like, well, what is that even supposed to mean? This individual is running for president of the United States. You should be looking towards these characteristics as a good leader, rather than trying to define it from your perspective of whether or not they would make a good mate. I cannot grasp how that conversation is still had in 2023. But I thank the texter for being able to better articulate my thoughts than I was even able to do. So this is Town Call. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, or you got a headline to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text. 844-967-2789. Headlines of the week will be right up next.
Beautiful Wisconsin, nature's wonderland.
Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, or you have a headline of the week for us, or you want to talk any of the stories we have covered throughout the course of the week, give us a call or shoot us a text. 844-967-2789. Now we're gonna go to the phone lines. We got Anne from Madison. Anne, how are you doing on this lovely Friday afternoon?
Good, thank you. I'm calling to help you with the bafflement over Dianne Feinstein's tenure in the Senate. She didn't leave, even though her health could have been assisted by leaving, and she could have had time for herself, like you wish she had taken. But she decided to serve her country. The Senate Republicans refused to allow her to be replaced on the Judiciary Committee. So Senator Feinstein, in a gallant act of service to her country, consistent with her long record of public service, decided to hang in and to do the best she could, even though her health was failing, because had she retired, the Senate Republicans would not have allowed her replacement on the Judiciary Committee. So it's really not that baffling, and it's, you know, it is sort of mainstream to criticize older politicians for their age and for all of these many things. But if we look around us and we see some of the great lights of our time, Bob Dylan, for example, performing in Milwaukee soon, he's in his 80s. Joe Biden, the extraordinary current president, is in his 80s. This is not that hard. This is not a case of somebody staying too long at the fair. This is somebody acting on behalf of her country because Mitch McConnell refused to replace her on the Senate Judiciary Committee, so she had no other choice. Thanks for your time.
That's a good point, Ann. We did touch on that briefly earlier, that the Judiciary Committee likely would not allow a replacement, and I hadn't really considered that, so I'm glad that Ann brought that to our attention.
Yes.
All of the judges that have been confirmed since Biden's election would not have been confirmed if not for Dianne Feinstein staying on. I guess I'm also, Anne notes that she was doing a service to her country, which I don't disagree with. But I think that kind of also makes it more likely that perhaps she wasn't the one who made that decision. Perhaps the powers that be, the party itself, kind of pointed out to her, like, you know, hey, you can't go anywhere. We really need you here. Against perhaps she did want to go home and spend time with her family and children. I don't know that, and I don't think we'll ever know that, right? I don't know Dianne Feinstein personally, and I don't know her family personally, but that is a really good point from Anne, that these judicial nominations, Biden has, I don't want to say broke the record for a first term, but I know it's quite a few. It might be the record. They have been nominating judges all across the country, and that would not have been able to occur without Feinstein sitting on the Senate Judiciary Committee. So she has still been able to contribute very positively.
I also think that this brings to the real problem, the biggest problem that we have in the country at the moment, at least that I can think of, is that the Republican Party, the leadership of the party, are just being jerks. And holding everything up because they feel like it, and it's just
they're playing politics.
Yeah.
It's rather than advocating or doing things that advance the United States and the material conditions of our citizens, they would rather do and say whatever they can to promote their worldview. I mean, we're seeing it right now with Tommy Tuberville, right?
Right.
And high level military promotions and appointments that he's purposely holding up to make a point. I'm not sure. He's kind of alone in this regard. Even other Republicans are like, dude, what are you doing?
He let two or three through. How generous.
Yeah, very, very kind of him. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Senator Tuberville. But we're going to go back to the phone lines. We got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what are your thoughts this Friday afternoon?
Yeah, well, I see that Chuck Grassley is only a mere 3 months younger than Dianne Feinstein because he's also hit 90 years old on September 17th. And so, you know, he could, you know, that at that age, sometimes you can just go like a moth in a candle flame, and you're all of a sudden you're gone. That it's unfortunate Dianne Feinstein, you know, that lost her health, and you know, his last few months and last year, that and the Republicans have forced us into this, unwilling to allow us to actually have, you know, the membership on the Judiciary Committee that we are politically entitled to have. You know, following the stories, you know, now today that I see that David Prosser was, you know, bringing it back here to Wisconsin, David Prosser saying, well, we're not a governmental body, even though we're, you know, working for Senator Representative Voss to advise him on, you know, Judge Janet, and that I'm going, it's ridiculous. I mean, you're performing a governmental function there, David Prosser, and so you certainly are a governmental body if you're doing work for the government. I mean, it is just the intransigence and the evil of these Republicans. I don't know if you guys were Game of Thrones fans, but Bronn made the comment that there's no cure for being one, that referring to Joffrey, maybe we should just use, there's no cure for being a Joffrey, or a Cersei for that matter, that just completely evil and willing to do whatever it takes, whatever pleases you, and doing whatever it takes to remain in power, because as we heard earlier this week, that over 50% of the legislative districts in the state have islands outside of them. They're not contiguous. And that is just so not in compliance with our state's constitution, that what is Voss talking about? You cannot say that the districts are constitutional, even though the Supreme Court has said, oh, they're constitutional. Well, if they do not meet a layman's version of understanding of what the word contiguous means, it means nothing outside within those districts, then it's just false. I mean, it is just false. I mean, that, and it cannot be forgotten that Justice Hagedorn was part of the team that helped Scott Walker back in 2011 put together the previously gerrymandered maps. I mean, is there a call for him to recuse himself because he had that involvement, even though it was that long ago?
Oh, of course not. Of course not, Mark. It's the same thing, too, with Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Bradley, who have taken money from a lot of conservative causes as well as the party, and determined in 2017 that, no, you do not have to recuse yourself. But now, of course, it's different because it's not me. It's consolidation of power. It's something we talk about, I think, all the time. Luke, that's something that Luke is always on point with,
yeah,
is that a lot of Republicans in the state, everything they do and say is an effort to consolidate their power. Nothing more, nothing less. That's a great point, Mark. And I like that you mentioned Prosser as well, because that feeds into a point that I make all the time, which is that nobody wants to be held accountable anymore, right? He's saying, oh, we're outside of, we're not a governmental body. That's because he doesn't want to have to be questioned on any of the actions that he performs. He doesn't want to have to allow the people of Wisconsin to hold him accountable for whatever he does or says, or whatever the results of this committee may or may not be.
Yeah, I think open records are more important than ever.
Mm-hmm. And I want to note something else as well, since Mark pointed out that Chuck Grassley is only a couple months younger than Dianne Feinstein. So I found a piece from the New York Times from September 8th, so less than a month ago, meaning that everybody on this list will currently be active, minus, of course, Dianne Feinstein. But it's the oldest members of Congress. She was the oldest at age 90. Second was Grassley at 89. Then there is Representative Grace Napolitano from California, who's 86. Representative Bill Pascrell Jr. from New Jersey, who's 86. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, who's 86. A couple more 85s in 6th and 7th. 84, 83, 83, 82, 81, 81, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80. That's 20 representatives that are all 80 years or older. These are individuals that do not represent the vast majority of the voting population of the United States anymore. And it really feels like we're getting to a point where this is going to come to a head, particularly amongst young voters who want to have somebody who reflects not only their values, but looks like them, sees the world through their eyes, has had the same experiences as them. I'm very grateful for all of the work that these elected representatives have done as public servants throughout their career, some more so than others. But at some point in time, you need to be able to say enough is enough. We're passing on the torch to new representatives. Anne was noting some of the... Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
I was going to say, yeah, I was also going to go back to Anne's call and mention that I generally agree with that. However, I'm not familiar with all of these individuals' personal track records. And I think that, as she mentioned with like Bob Dylan and Joe Biden, a lot of people...
And Bob Uecker came to mind when she was dropping the Bob Dylan. I was like, Wisconsin has some revered individuals,
absolutely,
legends of their trade that are still going very strong. So there are unique examples.
Yes. And like, I know when I was voting in Joe Biden, I made the, I guess, harsh and rash decision, like, well, I'm voting for Kamala Harris basically because he's too old, when really that was a little mean and just not accurate. And he's done much better than I expected. He's in good mental and physical health, as far as anyone can tell. Like a lot of people at that age, if they fell down like he did recently, they wouldn't just get back up and keep walking. And so it really does depend on the individual. And that's a difficult thing to figure out.
Yeah, certainly. I just, as a youth organizer, young people are considered naive. They're considered ignorant to reality. I hear those conversations all the time from people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, which I find incredibly ironic, because these same young people will be the very, you know, they're going to call their grandkids first when they're struggling with some kind of technological issue, when they need help with their social media, all this kind of stuff that the modern world runs on. I think of when Mark Zuckerberg was called in to testify, right? Some of the questions that the elected officials were asking him, it was brutally clear they have no idea
how that's why
any of this works.
I think that we need to have just a better blend. We're starting to see some younger people in elected positions, and I think we need to see more, but I don't think that has to be at the expense of everybody who is older. I think we just need a better blend.
Well, incumbent bonus is really hard to defeat. Campaigns that are established with infrastructure, it just makes sense to run them back year after year after year instead of trying to get a new candidate. And a lot of this comes back to campaign finance reform, in my opinion, as well. But that's, you know, talk to Citizens United about that. We got one more call that we want to try to get in quick before the next break. We got Susan calling in from her car. Susan, how are you doing this Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. While I agree with you on the premise, I am a woman of the aged population. However, I feel like I have my feet on the ground, and I also have a lot of interest in a lot of the things that the so-called young people want. And the other thing is, my guess is you probably voted for Bernie. And, you know, Bernie's not a young man, and so he had a lot of young people following him. I guess what it, for my, the point I'm trying to make really is, it's not the age, it's the person. So if you can be, I mean, I have grandchildren, I have whom I don't ask for help with. I try to get my own, figure out my computer things on my own. And I have learned a lot about computers because I've been forced into through my jobs to learn that. But anyway, to go back to my point is, I think it's the individual, as the other person on this show was saying, not the age. And I think everybody is so talking about age so much that it gets to be the point where it kind of turns off my ears, because I'm going, well, you know, I'm getting older. I'm still vibrant. I walk every day. You know, I'm just saying,
you can't
just put somebody in a box. And a lot of the young people, it's on them too, because the younger group, do they really, have they stepped up earlier? Even the people that are in their 30s and 40s, have they stepped up really to make a change in this country?
They're trying, Susan, they're trying, but that was, you made a lot of excellent points. We're going to get back to that right after the break. Thank you for calling in, Susan. The Sanders example was something I really wanted to touch on as well, because Susan is exactly right in that regard. So if you want to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I wanted to have that for Wisconsin headlines, but you know.
That's all.
Hallelujah, it's Friday, because I've been working all week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, if you got a headline for us, if you want to throw in your thoughts on any topic we have covered throughout the week, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app. You can call or text. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free and it is easy to download. Aaron, I want to touch on some of the points that Susan made before the break, because I do think that she is correct.
Right.
We tend to speak in generalities, right? Instead of noting that individuals can impact types of situations differently based on their health, their strength, what the situation may or may not be. It's hard to do that in a nation of 350 million people. So you tend to find common themes and patterns and group individuals in those similar demographics to those patterns. And she's right that there are a lot of, some of my closest friends in organizing are actually in their 70s and 80s, people that have been aggressive progressives for 40, 50 years. They're invaluable members of my inner circle, people that I go to when I have questions or concerns or just need to chat about an issue all the time.
Or like we now, had I think Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Camp. I don't know how old he is, but I do know that he retired from there and he's not 30.
Mm-hmm. And I think that when you see these individuals, you need to recognize that, yes, nothing on earth it's not a straight line, right? It's not one end of a spectrum, or excuse me, everything is a spectrum. It's not a straight line. It's not either a yes or no binary response. Is this person good? Yes, no. Like, no, everything is on a spectrum. Humans are very, very unique individuals that can have different opinions and different success stories across the aisle. And Bernie Sanders, I think, I'm glad that Susan made that point as well, because he's kind of the face of a lot of the progressive youth movement in the country. That I know a lot of young people who got involved with politics because of Bernie Sanders' campaign. He motivated, myself included, motivated them to get involved, to be able to make a difference in their communities, to do what they can to change the world and change America. And I do disagree with Susan where she says, you know, what are young people doing to get involved? How many people under the age of 30 are getting involved? I would say significantly more young people today are involved than 10, 20, 30 years ago. And because a lot of the issues that directly relate to young people's lives, student loan debt, the climate crisis, right? These kind of things have really, really engaged young people, and they're starting to recognize how impactful politics can really be. But she is correct. Bernie Sanders is one of the oldest senators in the country as well.
He's 82.
Yet he serves as, you know, the face of the youth movement. I did find an interesting piece over from fiscalnote.com noting the average age of every member for each congressional cycle as members of the 118th Congress took over in Jan 2023. We are finding that Congress is making important strides to a more diverse representation among its members. Because of a couple of Generation Z members to reach Congress, such as Democrat Maxwell Frost, who was born in 1997 and became Congress's first Gen Z member, the average age of the 118th Congress is 58 years old, which is 3 years younger than the previous Congress. Overall, members of Congress seem to be getting younger, though their average age is much higher than the median age of the United States, which is 38.8 years. So when I was talking earlier, Aaron, about how, you know, elderly representatives don't exactly reflect the average American, that's kind of what I meant. Now, that, again, it comes down to the individuals. Some individuals, as they age, are not only still 100% going strong mentally and physically, but they do have opinions and policies that align with what young people want to do and want to see from their elected officials. And again, does this just come down to campaign finance then, right? That these young people aren't necessarily able to donate as much money to these campaigns. So a lot of elected reps don't cater their message towards young people. Young people don't vote at the same clip as elderly individuals. Susan is 100% spot on. If that was the point that she was making in regards to youth engagement, is that young people still don't vote at the clip that they need to.
It's getting closer.
It's actually kind of embarrassingly low, but it is improving. We talked about it with the spring election in Wisconsin here, right? Where Dane County had like a 60% turnout, which was more than double the old record for a spring turnout. Young people are starting to recognize the impact of politics. They're trying to get themselves more involved. They're trying to learn the machinations of the system and how they can kind of use it to their own good. It's exciting to see, Aaron. It really is. As a young person yourself, we need to be motivating our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that we know. Obviously, in our line of work, most of these individuals are already voting. But that doesn't mean you can't make it a point to go out and say, make sure your voice is heard.
Yeah. And I also want to explicitly thank both Anne and Susan for calling in, calling us out a little bit on some of the way we were talking about it, and reminding us of these gray areas that are difficult to figure out and how don't judge a book by its cover.
That's a good way to put it. I want to give a shout out to some of the texts that we got throughout the show as well, because I think these have been spot on. Tony from WBZH texted in, reminds me of George Bush winning because people wanted to have a beer with him. Shows what a disadvantage women are working from if instead of having a beer, the voters go right to, would I marry this person? Steve from Milwaukee, big supporter of term limits. He likes Ro Khanna's plan. So this is something that the voting people of not just Wisconsin, but the United States are showing support for. We got a text from Lisa Joe noting the difference between Feinstein and Dylan is not age, is that Dylan still has his faculty. Feinstein suffered from dementia for years. There is a difference.
And then that,
we got an unrecognized. Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
That also brings up the point. Like I said earlier, we need to remember what the real problem is. As Anne pointed out, that she was doing a service. It unfortunately had to stay there to keep the government moving, and that no one should be forced to do that.
And that's actually the argument I hear against term limits a lot is if you think lobbyists have power now, imagine how much power they'll have when you lose the institutional knowledge of an incumbent candidate cycle after cycle after cycle after new elected officials have to come in and learn, you know, the 101s of being an elected official. I disagree with that, but I think that argument makes a lot of sense. We got a text from WAUK, focus on fixing campaign finance laws and voters will be able to choose how old they want their representatives to be. That, I think, is spot on. That's another point that I make all the time, right? Campaign finance laws is the root of all of these problems. So we didn't get to any headlines. Maybe we'll have to push Friday headlines to next Monday, Aaron. I don't know. Thank you for calling and texting the show. We love having you here. We love your participation. And we'd love to see you next week. This is Town Call. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take it easy, party people.
Talk to you Monday. All right, the stream is ending. All right.